Blog Talk Radio.
people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries.
What happened
with the image of an African American man as savior of the world before them?
Tell me what
in the Shaitan regime. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-deen. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladheena an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. Seek refuge from Allah, from the rejected enemy, Shaitan. Is Allah's name the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise is due to Allah, the Lord, the cherisher, sustainer of all the worlds. The beneficent, the most merciful, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. The alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Will Allah please show us the right way, the way of those upon whom thou hast restored thy grace upon, and not those upon whom thy wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray. I mean. Assalamu alaikum. First of all, I'd like to bear witness that there's no God but Allah, the one God, one and only creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, the one creator of all the systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is a seal of prophets and Allah's messenger. May peace and blessings be upon him. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Message of Concern, sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School and shared with us by Brother, Yasir Muhammad of L.A., Los Angeles. This is Tuesday, and it's July the 12th, 2022. And this is the day that we focus on the psychological effect that image has on the minds of the world's children. That's our second focus. That's on Tuesdays and Sundays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We also know that this is the number one focus, the serious message of concern, the removal of all images from worship that portray divine. Removal of all images from worship that portray divine. That's the main topic, message of concern, excuse me. And that means, and just to go a little bit further, any image, whether it be statue, whether it be the cross, whether the clay that the statue is made from is what they call white or black, even considered a color. If there are images that portray divine, we want them removed. We pray to Allah to help us. And we give thanks to Allah for our leader and teacher, the Imam W. Dean Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him and his father, the Imam Elijah Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him, that woke us up and cleaned us up and directed us to the true guidance and the true light and the reality of our situation. So now, we want to do what we can, the best we can, with the help of Allah, to keep this known, explain it to our children, let our children know the truth about it, and spread it to as many as we can. As Allah blesses, would bless us to, you know, to share it with. Now, we can't say, and we won't say, that everybody will adhere to our message or share our message or our exact message as we see it. But we pray Allah to bless us with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to share it and the way, the proper way to share it with others so that they can see it, you know, similar or the same way as we see it, enough to remove the images from our worships, different worshiping places that portray divine. Remove it from our homes as well, and teach our children that there's only one creator, one God, not three, the Trinity, but only one. Okay? And try also to share with those who are old enough to try and understand or that are curious to look it up, study it, read the Holy Quran, which is our daily guide. And if you'd like to have one, you don't have one, please just call our radio, Blog Talk Radio Show, 515 area code, 602-9665. And you will push one on your phone receiver and board into the queue. Your mic will be open. You'll be brought into the queue. You will be asking for asking the question that you would like, questions that you would like to ask, and also ask for a Holy Quran if you would like to have one. Please. Okay. We just got done with our celebration. Eid al-Adha is over now till next year, and we pray to Allah that everybody's been rejuvenated, and everybody has been renewed mentally and rejoicing and being grateful and thankful to Allah for even knowing about Eid al-Adha or hearing about Eid al-Adha. Of being around the people that think with the same mind that we have, that rejoice and are grateful and celebrate Eid al-Adha. Even for those who are curious, we thank Allah for them as well for coming out. And I have to admit, we had many, 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 many people out who were non-Muslims, children running around, getting toys, you know, adults getting gifts from each other. You know, it's the second Eid that we have, that the Muslims have, second Eid in Islam. So this is the time that we can give gifts and mainly recognize that our children must know about these Eids, two Eids, and what they represent and what they're all about, and let them have also an enjoyable time with each other. I even saw Brother Muhammad's grandson down there at El Mu'minun, which is the masjid that my husband and I reside. We go to worship, but then there were a lot of Atlanta masjid Muslims there as well. And I have to admit, not showing any partiality or not really speaking, that it's something that's so, whoa, wow, you know, but it's a blessing because there are a lot of immigrant Muslims there with their children getting gifts as well. And that's alhamdulillah. And we communicated together. We ate together. We talked about Quran together. And the children all played together. And everybody got gifts. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, now, I always refer to Brother Henry's book. I don't know if anyone gets tired of hearing it, because it's like they can consider it as being repetitious, but that's how one grows. That's how a lot of people grow, by repetitious, saying things over and over and over. You know, a lot of people grow by hands-on. You know, they have to have their hands on something or whatever it is that they are being taught or showed. You know, but either way, repetitious and repeating things more than once is usually a good way to help a person to remember. And I usually focus on two of the chapters in the Holy Bible, King James Version, and it's about that graven image. You know, and it's the same image that we're speaking on, same image that we're speaking about. So it's that graven image. It puts it the way Brother Henry did, put it like that in his book, which is fine because we know what he's talking about. I mean, we connect with you know, what Brother Henry is speaking on. So the two of the chapters that I pointed out was for this particular reason. They have the same wording. I mean, I don't see where there's any word different from these two chapters that speak on the graven image. And I take it that since they are mentioned twice in one book, that it would behoove all of us to pay attention and acknowledge that, you know, and connect them and think, because thinking benefits the thinker. You know, now why do they have it in this book twice? Why can't they just have it one time? You know, but then a lot of times you can get different revelations from them, and different people can get different revelations from them. Allah can reveal revelation. He can reveal different things to different ones according to his will. All he has to do is say, be, and it is. And we let this one understand what revelation means this particular way by using this particular example. Okay, and we let this one, this other individual, understand the meaning of the revelations because we presented to him or her this particular way. But then, when it's all said and done, we connect those different ways and we come up with a revealed knowledge that Allah has put upon our minds and within our hearts to see it in the way that he sees fit for us to see it. But in other words, my opinion of revelation is a revealed knowledge that Allah blesses whom he pleases with to have a clearer understanding and a meaning of what he has presented to them. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for the connections. Alhamdulillah for thinking. Alhamdulillah for the mind he has blessed us with to be able to do these things. And then we put all of ours together and we connect them and we come up with the meaning, the true meaning of revelations, revealed knowledge from Allah. Okay, now, I will start off with this one chapter, which is Deuteronomy, 5th chapter, 8th verse. It says, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Okay? Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Says Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. And we have one other. And what I've been trying to emphasize, that it says the same identical thing. The same identical thing. Both of them say and read the same identical words. Okay, and the other one is Exodus. Exodus 20th chapter, the fourth verse. Exodus 20th chapter, fourth verse. And it reads, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Okay? It reads, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now, books Exodus and Deuteronomy in the Holy Bible, King James Version, have the same exact words in both of those chapters. And it would stand to reason that we were saying, why do they put same thing in there twice? Same thing in there twice. There must be a reason for it, and we should put them together, connect them, and be able to see the reason for it because it is very important that this is emphasized. And we feel that once this is emphasized, the graven image, and once everybody can connect and see what it's saying and understand the reason why they should be removed, then we feel that the world would be a better place to live in and the people themselves would be able to understand much better. Like, you know, they say, you'll understand it by and by. People will be able to understand what it is that is being said in those words. And go study them. Look them up. Go study them. Look them up. Get that book? Chronicle. I forget what you call it now, but I have one back there. I don't refer to it too much because I like to try to use my own mind and just the Quran to try to reason and figure out these things. Concord. That's what it's called. Concord. So but when you do have some type of you do become stagnated and you can't seem to really
get it together, pull it together to see what it is I'm talking about or to see what it is that it's talking about, the wording to the graven images, those two chapters, then go to the Chronicles and you'll be able to understand it better, inshallah. Okay, now, there from that's from the Holy Bible King James Version. Now, we would like to quote something from the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, Yusuf Ali's version. And this is Surah 112, Al-Ikhlas, the purity of worship. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Allah, the eternal, absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Sadaq Allahu Din Shul Allah speaks the truth. Okay, so now that's the Holy Quran part, and I feel that that's just enough. I feel that that says it all. You know, I could find go on and find some other surahs. And so also in the Bible, the Holy Bible, King James Version, you can go and find many other chapters with verses, different verses. They may not say the same thing, but they do indicate that there's only one God, one creator. And he is Allah, the one and only. He is Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Sure, Allah speaks the truth. Okay, if anyone wants to add anything to that, or for an explanation about anything I've said, or ask any questions, and if I see, I can answer it. I pray Allah that I can answer it or give some input. You know, then please push 1 on your phone receiver. Your mic will be opened, and you will be brought into the cube. The cube. I don't know why I keep saying it. Thinking about math, cube. And you will be brought into the cube. Okay. We hear now that the COVID is back. It's back. And it also has what they call, 15-B, something like that. That's they're adding on. Oh, I see somebody that has their hand up. Before I go to another topic, I'd like to recognize this hand because it could be something pertaining to the topic that we just got off of. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad Sharif. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah,
welcome, my friend. Alhamdulillah, how y'all doing, brother and sister?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Good, alhamdulillah.
We're doing all right.
Good, good, alhamdulillah. It's good to hear you on the line. It's good to hear you on the line. And what can you share with us today?
Well, we have to set things right.
Okay.
And that is Craig Committee.
The Craig Committee.
Craig.
Okay.
Craig.
Huh?
It was called Committee for the Removal of All Images that Attempt to Portray the Divine.
Okay.
And through the years, after Imam Muhammad moved away from Craig, by me removed away.
Mm-hmm.
Through the years, there's been a slight change in the name of the Craig Committee.
Okay.
And it's like a big ship. Got a big ship and you have to make a turn, and you can see there's an iceberg up ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't start making that turn soon enough, you're going to crash into that iceberg and that big ship is going to sink.
Good example.
The name of the committee was the Committee to Remove All Images That Attempt to Portray the Divine.
Yes, sir.
Attempt to portray the divine.
Okay. Thank you for the correction.
Mm-hmm. But through the years, it's gone off track, like I was talking about that big ship. That went off course a long time ago, and it wasn't corrected. And when it's too late to try to make the move, hit that iceberg, it was destroyed, like the Titanic. It went down too late. And that's what has happened here. It's changed the word of the Craig Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was a member of the Craig Committee, and we were collecting 100,000 signatures for the imam have a dialogue with the Pope. I remember myself and two other brothers, we used to go every Sunday right down below the Yankee Stadium where, you know, a whole lot of people attended the ball game at Yankee Stadium. You're right there at a McDonald's. We'd be out there every Sunday collecting signatures. And people just look at that and say, in amazement. Who do they think that Imam Muhammad is to have a conversation, a dialogue with the Pope? But anyway, we got 100,000 signatures. So in the last time that we got back to the master location, we got the word that we have received all the 100,000 signatures from all over the country for having a dialogue with the Pope.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, when the Pope went to the Vatican, I guess y'all probably saw it when the Pope went there, right? Imam Muhammad's presentation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So all those big leaders that was there from all over the world, big people with big followings, big connections, big man, all that behind them, and they sit there and listen to the Imam Muhammad speak. When he finished, he embraced the Pope. Did you know that Lamb never mentioned that image once he got there? There was no mention of images. He changed his, for his wise leadership, he did not mention images. When we had raised all of those signatures for him to have a dialogue with the Pope, when Lamb got there, he never mentioned those images. There were many people that went with the imam, and they went into the cathedrals and many places. The imam explained a lot to them about those designs and things they saw in the chapels there and all. Remember, like I said, the imam did not mention those images.
Okay. So you said that to say what, Brother Muhammad?
That the imam thought it was no longer that important.
No longer that important.
It was no longer important to mention those images. Because the wise, like the wise all over the world, understood it, that wasn't a big problem. And if the man's our leader and he didn't mention that, why are we going back and mentioning it? And saying the wrong thing, and I'm not speaking directly to you. No, I'm just speaking in general. And why are we going back saying something that wasn't correct? It said, committed to remove all images that attempt to portray the divine. That attempt to portray the divine.
Okay.
And when the man went there, he didn't even mention that image. We all saw him embrace the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that.
Okay.
How, why we're not telling the people to go on YouTube, wherever they go, just type in on your computer or your phone for the Imam W.D. Mohammed speaks from the Vatican.
Okay.
He's so called He spoke to the whole planet from the Vatican. They got satellites over there that can take thousands of miles. Telescopes and whatever.
Yes.
I believe they probably made that broadcast all the way to that planet, probably that platform that's been out there in space for years, and they all were here when they took another payload out in space on that platform.
Uh-huh.
Right. They probably broadcast all over there.
Matter of fact,
I was in an appliance store buying some type of appliance in the sales, because it had been my name, Muhammad. Are you Muslim? You witness? I said, have you heard Imam W.D. Muhammad? He said, yeah, vaguely. I mean, Elijah Muhammad passed and he had a new leader, but I haven't followed up on anything. So I told him, I said, you know, when you get the opportunity, go on your computer, on your phone, and put me in Imam W.D. Muhammad speak on the Vatican. He said, yeah, I'll do that now. I said, no, don't do it now. It's what we call, you know, supervising everyone is most likely watching you and you're doing your work here. He said, no, I'm going to do that right now. That's what he did on his phone right there in the store. He was real, real surprised. He saw that Imam W.D. Muhammad spoke from the Vatican in the presence of the Pope and all those big leaders. So that's my question. How many of us has told the people to go in and hear the man speaking from the Vatican? How many of us have done that? Because, see, the people, when they hear that and see that, they say, now, isn't that something? Why did not tell us about that? Why didn't tell us to go and see the man Muhammad speaking from the Vatican? So that's why I asked the question. How many people have we told to go on our computer, phone, and type into what I just said, Imam Muhammad speak from the Vatican?
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and I understand the question. I have not, for one, I'll be the first one to say, I have not mentioned to anyone listen to Imam speaking from the Vatican. Because I can't assume, that's a dumb word in the first place, you can't assume that people just automatically go and listen to him on that particular day when he was at the Vatican. You know, you can't just assume that that was amusing to everybody, behoove everybody to turn to that channel and be able to, on the TV, and be able to listen to the Imam at the Vatican. Maybe only the Muslims would have took their interest upon themselves if they had the equipment or whatever to be able to turn to that and listen to it at that particular time.
No, not that particular time. All you got to do is go to your phone right today. You got to be at that particular time.
Yes,
right
now. It's still there. Yeah, right now. Right. Yeah, even right now. Now, I'm not saying that it's not there. I'm just saying, yeah, at that particular time, no one probably would think. You know, well, I would just say myself, I have not even thought of mentioning to anyone about the Vatican and Imam W.D. Muhammad being there with the Pope. But I did see it. You know, I know I did, and the ones that were around me did. We watched it together. I do know that. And no, I did not hear him speak on the image. I did not hear him speak on the graven image or anything per se. But I do know that it reads what would happen if people would sit in the churches throughout the world for centuries with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them. The Imam W.D. Muhammad himself wrote that in the message of concern.
Now, you know that's in the Muslim Journal. Everywhere has been there for the last 33 years. All the Imam leadership in the Muslim Journal every week. Right?
That's right.
And you know the Imam said relevant to that? Speaking to, I won't say which brother speaks to, but anyway, he said, just put this message of concern that's in the Muslim Journal, when the Imam corrected it, he said, just put this in the hands of the people. He said, when you go out in the community, just put it in the hands of the people. He said, don't put it on their car window shield, on that door on their car or at that front door. No, don't do any of that. Just give it to them in their hand. It's less of a concern.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need to say. Otherwise, mm-hmm. Otherwise you're just wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
Just put this less concern that's in the paper, put that in the people's hand and let them read and think about it. Because they can think, they can read, and they can understand better than what you're trying to tell them. Just put this in their hands. Otherwise, you
mm-hmm.
don't do that. You just waste your time.
Oh, he said it would be a waste of time? The man
yes.
said it would be a waste of time? Just put it in their hands. Don't put it in their mailboxes. Or don't speak to them. Don't speak to them about it. Just put it in their hands.
Yeah, listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying the imam said, just put this message of concern that's in the Muslim Journal, that's incorrect, put that in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing anything other than that, you're just wasting your time.
Oh, he did say that.
There's no way possible that we can put the words that the imam put, that Allah bless him, to put that those words together in that message of concern that's in the paper. Allah bless our Imam Muhammad to put the words together to that. He reached small people, large people, and he can reach everybody with that. So just put in their hand and let them read it and walk on away. Let them take it. And don't try to teach them. Don't try to tell, because you're only wasting your time. Allah is not going to, there's no way Allah is going to bless you to say get words together better than what I put together here. You're only turn people off. You'll just lose them. They'll pretend they'll listen to you, but they're not paying attention to you. Just put it in and let them read and think what these words are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, just wasting time.
Okay,
don't
I can respect. Okay.
Go ahead.
I hear you, and I hear what you're saying. And I never heard that coming from him. It doesn't mean he didn't say it, because I didn't hear it. I never heard everything he said, you know. But to put it in their hands, just put it
uh-huh.
in their hands, you know, to me,
yep.
that too can also be a waste of time, because sometimes people look at it and say, oh, and throw it down. I've gone on Dawah in Louisville, Kentucky, and other places with my husband and Dawah teams, and we have put the message of concern in Spanish, in English, and directly from the paper here, the Muslim Journal, and we've put it in their hands, and they would look at it and throw it down. You see it on the street. Just throw it down, you know. But he was saying some what he felt was the right thing to say in order for mm-hmm. us listen to him and to do, you know, to just follow his lead, which was good, you know. But due to day and times now, I mean, we used to put it in their mailboxes. We used to put it inside of their gates of their fences, you know, stick it in there because they would have dogs in the yard, you know, and some person had a hog, whatever, on the porch. I forgot what you call them kind of hogs, but a big one. Can you imagine one of us going up there, then we used to knock on the doors as well, just like selling the Muslim Journal or the Muhammad Speaks, knock on the doors as well, you know, and do the day and times. I would see to do to the day and times that I would say any means necessary, you know. That was then, and this is now, and I would say any means necessary. Not that we're going against the teachings of the Imam W.D. Muhammad, not that we are trying to do anything that he didn't tell us to do. Trying to promote what he's
saying.
Yes.
We do not practice any way necessary. Any means necessary. We do not practice that. That went out many, many years ago. We do not practice any means necessary.
I said literally. I did not have said that then, literally, not any means necessary. I said that coming from my own mouth, you know, for me, in a way that would be easier for me to connect with them, and that I could give them the word or give them a Muslim message of concern or whatever like that. I didn't mean that, like Malcolm X said, any means necessary. No, I have to explain myself, too. That's not really what I meant. Any means necessary. I don't mean throw them down and beat them up, you know, and give it to them in the hand. No, I don't mean that, not literally like that. I'm sorry for not explaining myself better. But no, I didn't mean it like that, because I know that particular word itself is provoking a lot of times to a lot of people in a lot of ways. Okay, so I will apologize for using that particular word. Wrong.
No apology necessary. I'm not directing that just at you, Daya. I'm not directing this at you. I'm just telling you the way the man says to do it. Don't put it on that car door. Don't put it on that windshield. Don't put it in that fence. Don't put it in no place else. Put it in their hands. And we are not interested. The world is not interested. People who would look at it and throw it down or burn it up, we're not even interested in those people. We want people that could think and look at those words there and let it register on their mind and on their hearts.
That's true.
The ones that throw it down or put it in the place of God, we're not interested. Those people decide don't want those people. It's not what the world wants. We want people that have intelligence, some thinking people, that will read to that and understand it and take it home and look at it and think about it.
Uh-huh.
That's
what you're
looking for.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. Okay. I know it's not pointed directly at me. I was just, just speaking out, giving my opinion, which is never a one-sided affair. You know, I'm not a one-sided thing. You know, everybody has their own opinion, and I was not there. I didn't hear certain things like I said, but I just tried to implement the effort the best way I can to get the people to see it, you know, and just to read it so that maybe then they can think about it, have time to sit and think about it intelligently, you know, and then understand what it's saying to them, the message it's trying to get across to them. That's it. Oh, okay, I appreciate you, Brother Muhammad. I appreciate your input. I really do. And I understand what you're saying, and I noted that, notated that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your contribution.
Give
the sister the greetings for me, please.
Right here.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go on to someone else who I see, two people I see on here. Okay. I see one is Sister Kuro, Brother Suja. Okay, Brother Suja. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, well, there's that is him, not Quran. Brother Suja, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. You give me a notification that you would like to speak. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I sure will. Praise be to Allah. I'd like to first testify and bear witness that there's only one creator, one God. And I'd like to testify and bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the prophet. He's not God. He's not God's son. He's not Superman. He was a human being, just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Allah said that if the earth was populated with angels, he would have sent us an angel as a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
The earth is populated with human beings. So he sent us a human being, you know. In reference to the Craig Committee, it just so happened, I'm one of the brothers that helped put that together. And also, Brother Saifullah, you can have him on. And he can bear witness to what I'm saying, what I'm getting ready to say. There was a whole lot of people that participated, you know, in the committee, and some of the people wasn't doing some of the people weren't kind of strong at it. They didn't get the wisdom out of it, and they didn't let the wisdom humble them. But they I guess that's the way they were showing their sincerity. You had one brother, He broke one of the statues at a church. He broke one of the statues.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he did that because Abraham did it. I don't know why he did it, you know, but he broke it because it was an image. That's, I know that was one reason he did it, because it was an image.
Mm-hmm.
We was going out on a regular basis, dealing with removing the Craig Committee is a committee for the removal of all racial images that attempt to portray the divine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it's an acronym, and it means it's a committee.
Not correct. I just told Daya what they say. Meaning Craig was Craig committed to the rule of our images that are not official images.
I'm Lakem. Now, once one fish talks, we're going to let each fish talk.
But let me hear what you say, because he said I said something wrong.
Well,
yes, I said that.
Okay,
the Craig Committee is the committee for the removal of all racial images that attempt to portray, and the last letter on there is the D, which means the divine.
I do remember Brother Muhammad saying that.
Yeah, that's C-R-A-I-D. C-R-A-I-D. You know, we had a group. And right, we was going out collecting all the going to the churches and things like that, getting fill out that the petition that the imam had. You know, we was getting people, and majority of the people that signed it was people that was in Catholicism. They was the majority that signed it. The people that was Catholic, you know, and that was amazing to us. The imam was so serious about this. He was so serious about this here. The thing, that's what Brother Norman is doing. You know, Brother Imam probably did told him that. I ain't never questioned that. But the Imam ain't never, and he wouldn't put us in a position where he'd tell us, don't say nothing. No, the Imam was training us how to do da'wah and how to engage in da'wah. How to make presentations in Dawah. I was right there with it. And right, he went to see the Pope. But there is no tape or nothing like that where you can get what the imam talked to the Pope about. And I remember when I did a barbecue for him, and you asked Sister Halima this. I'm not just talking. I cooked on my grill. I barbecued for the family in Deep Step, Georgia. And Brother Clams came out there and got me and told me that the man wanted to talk to me. So I got somebody else to hold down the barbecue. And I went in. And the imam, even though he hugged me and saying, you know how you do it. And he was saying, we did it. We did it. I didn't know what he was talking about. We did it. He said, we saw the Pope. We got an audience with the Pope. But at no point in the Clear Committee, the imam asked us to not present literature on removing all racial images out of worship. He put out the information in reference to the brother breaking that statute there in Chicago. You know, he put out information according to that, but he never told us to stop the Craig Committee. This is a fact. That's almost impossible for him to tell us to stop removing racial images, asking to remove racial images out of work. That right there, if you read the Quran, if you read the Bible, you read any religious book, you'll see that that's what all the prophets did. That's what all of them did. And the imam said, and this is what he gave us. He said, I want to make just a few points. He said that first I want to say to you that whether you realize it or not, you support my call to have racial images removed from the worship of God are doing something more important than anything anyone has done since Prophet Muhammad. Nobody since Prophet Muhammad has ever done anything that's more important in religion than this, removing all racial images from worship. In fact, that is exactly what he emphasized in his preaching. La ilallah, 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 la sharika la. There's no God except Allah, English. There's nothing like him. In the Quran, it says, we shall make them know what it is they have done. That's what the Quran say. Talking about the people that present false worship out there.
Microwave.
You know, and we was out there taking care of business, and we learned how to talk to people on the outside dealing with a sensitive subject like this. We had people want us to come to their meeting, to their churches. We didn't have no problem. We had people let us use the church. It's a tough job now. It's not no job for anybody. You know, I agree with that. He said when Prophet Muhammad preached, it wasn't time. God has not chosen the time to go into the depth of what they had done with this corrupt idea of worship of God. But he dealt the blow to that idea. The full extent of the harm that it had done to society was yet to come out, and the Holy Quran says, you shall make them know exactly what it is they have done. The imam said, now it's going to take time. But so he knew it was going to be a long time. This wasn't a quick trip. He said that if you are sincere if you don't go out with racism in you, don't go out as a racist to condemn another racist. Go out as a follower of Al-Islam, a believer in the true religion, accepting the religion, accepting the leadership in the community of your Imam Warisdeen Muhammad. Now, this is what he said. This is what he written. This is what he was telling us. I don't know what they were telling the people in Mississippi, in New York, in these other places, but this is what he was. This is how he was teaching us. He said that if you go out there like that, innocent, desiring nothing but to serve Allah in the right way and to do what is right and proper as a Muslim, and you support this drive to remove all racial effect from worship, I guarantee you that the people may want to kill you, but they won't be able to kill you. They might want to put you off your job and make you starve. That's how serious it is. They wouldn't be able to stop you. Maybe you will suffer a little bit. But for suffering, you will be rewarded so many times more. So much so that you would thank Allah for giving you a chance to sacrifice some of yourself. I'm telling you that there's nothing that Allah is with at this particular time more than he is with this drive to remove all racial image from worship. Fear not. Allah is always God, always in control, and goodness is always the power on earth. All you have to do is let the good come out of you and help other people to bring it out. So trust good thoughts, good motivation, and good desires. If you trust them and have faith in them, you will change the world. No opposition is too big for us. Imam Warisdeen Muhammad, the servant of Allah. And what the sister said about the imam put the message of concern in the paper, he didn't change. That was the same thing. He asked him to remove race images. He even had a Quranic quote there. He just took it out. Took it out of it, just directing it over to white people, or so-called white people. He said, what would happen to the children, the war children? But it was exactly the same thing. Imam never stopped. We have many people who are trying to stop this, but the imam never stopped us from even hinting to us not to go out and teach to remove all racial images out of worship. So I thank you, Sister Daya, for this opportunity. I'm really willing to swear on what I'm saying, and you know, this is serious. We got to play. We can't let our children think that we gonna sit back and let them do what they're doing. The racism is a big problem, and we got the solution. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Suja, and thanks for your input. And we thank Brother Muhammad for his input. And both of your inputs have really I was blessed. I'm going to use this word now. I was blessed with a revelation listening to both of y'all talk. So, see, this was something that's known knowledge that has not been revealed. So, Imam W.D. Muhammad, I feel,
was speaking for his time during that time and for later years and for the duration. So maybe that's why we are saying that he never said this at that particular time. And he you know, like Brother Muhammad said, he said put it in their hands. Yes, at that particular time, put it in their hands. But there's nothing wrong with nowadays, and I'm sure he would not say not to, you know, put it in their mailboxes or in their gate or something like that, you know, because you see a lot of flyers and things that are put in people's mailboxes, and this is the way of getting the word out to a lot of people or to different ones, you know. So I'm sure every those words serve for their time, you know, different words serve for their time and at that particular time, but not all the time, not for the duration, because things change. He loved the song himself. Everything must change. Nothing is the same. So, you see, we have to consider all of that, and we are thinking from our own thoughts, and that's coming into our own heads, and we're speaking the way we feel and what we heard. Okay, that was then, and that was there. This is now and here, here and now. And so this is a new world, a new day, and believe it or not, new people. So we just have to break it down to its logical conclusion, you know, bring it on down. So we're not going to do anything provoking, even the word itself, removal of images that portray or that attempt to portray divine. That's just that saying right there alone is a trigger for a lot of people, like somebody on drugs. You know, they could hear a record or could see a certain people or group they sing out with. They could trigger them to use drugs again. You see the words that we say or see on the plaques out here in our front yard here and other billboards that Brother Henry have on his highway up there going where he lives and different other wordings that even the Christians have. Even Christianity now is talking about the image. They're talking about the images. And believe it or not, a lot of the people that you know and you know, and they pass, you know, and you go to their funerals, and you won't see images in the churches. You just, you know, they don't have them anymore. They just don't have them anymore. So that right there alone tells us something. You know, nothing stays the same. Everything must change. And due to the day and time that you live in, you hear us say that a lot of times too. And we say, yeah, well, that was during that time. They so and so and so and so and so and so, but since this is a new time and a new day, you know, it has changed, meaning the same that was said originally, but just in different words, you know. And by all means, we're going to definitely try and keep it peaceful and non-provocative to anybody that would want to say anything to attack, because just the wording alone, with anything added to it, on the message of concern is enough to get some people all upset and riled up. Just those little words on there, but you wouldn't think that they would get upset about. So we have to also think logically, and not saying that anybody has not thought knowledgeable or thought with knowledge or whatever, you know, because Allah blesses whom he pleases, when he pleases, and the way he pleases, you know. So we know that some one maybe have a little bit more insight on things than others, you know, but then we help each other to by saying and sharing what we what our understanding is, and we may not be able to make anybody else believe the way we believe, but we can at least share it with them, and who knows, it could become a revelation to somebody. It could wake them up, you know. I remember one little movie that was made from the Muslims in California when they had something about Islam during the time of Imam Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, the little brother said, Imam Elijah Muhammad came in and he's cleaning us up. He's waking us up, cleaning us up, you know. And it was good, a little FOI. who said those words, and everybody just looked at him and just laughed and said, little brother's really, he's laying it down and he knows what he's talking about. He's coming to clean us up. So we appreciate and everybody's sharing of what they know, sharing with us. I appreciate it. And we shouldn't take it in negative sense or tense. We should take it, you know, as inviting and welcome it and appreciate it because we're sharing, you know, we're sharing our understanding. And that's all we're doing. We're sharing our understanding and what some might have heard, you know. But those who didn't hear, then they just share their understanding too. And I thank you. I thank you much. Thank both of you brothers much, you know, for sharing that. Because I've definitely come to, I've received a revelation from that myself, something that I hadn't even thought about, even while trying to get the message of concern over to people. And we just always have to be working out strategies and everything anyway. Like you see many people on YouTube, you know, they get on there by themselves, and they just propagate the religion, you know, the removal of all images from worship, or the portray divine, a removal of all images that attempt to portray divine. Remove all racial, some people say the removal of all racial images from worship that attempt to portray divine, you know, and but it's the same meaning. I mean, it's the same thing. So we just have to connect and acknowledge that, you know. Like we used to say in Amway, you know, we say, we used to call each other not necessarily degrading anybody, but we'd keep it simple, stupid, you know, to each other we would say, you know, let's keep it simple, you know, and, you know, it'll get there. It's getting there. It's getting there. The message of concern as it is and as to everybody, each other's understanding that we try and propagate when we're in the streets or on the phone or on YouTube or wherever, you know, but it's getting out there. It's getting there. And for the people's homes, in the churches, in the worshiping places, and all, it's getting there. So we may disagree with each other about certain things said verbatim the way it was said or done in that time, you know, in that time. And it still carries on up until today, just in different words. Just different wording, I would say. But the message is the same. Different wording and arranged different in a different way, but the message is still the same, and we cannot be afraid to get this message out. You know, we can't be afraid. We don't even have to be provocative, you know, for people to get the message that we're trying to get across. You know, you're just using charisma. You're just using that of the way that you feel would be easier for the people to understand. And it may not be verbatim the way Imam W.D. Muhammad wrote it, like the message of concern in the Muslim Journal, but we know how to switch the words around for them to have the same meaning and get the same message across.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. What is this? Oh, yeah.
One of the things that I learned in doing dawah, the main effort is you trying to reason with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get a point over, but you're trying to reason with them. You know, because they may not accept what I got, what I'm bringing. You know, but I'm gonna try everything that I can. You know, to make it appealing, and try to make them think about it at least. You know, so that's one of the main efforts in speaking. Outdoor in the public, because you got people got all kind of beliefs and different ideas, different religion. You know, you get a good point, and you try to reason with your audience. You got to know your audience, you know, and you try to reason with them. And so that's, you know, they may not believe. You know, they got that right. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this. I really did. Brother Muhammad, inshallah. Thank you for bringing that subject up. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I would like to say something else. Yes.
Okay. Let's speak. Speak, brother, if you want to say something else.
Yeah, how many people, I'm just saying, that we know, have told the people to go on the line, their phone, wherever, computer, put in W.D. Mohammed speaks from the Vatican, and let them speak for themselves. Let them see that. That the man spoke to the world from the Vatican. Tell the people that.
That's a good idea. Okay.
And everybody else, let them go and see that and think for themselves. And ask the question, why the imam then mentioned the images after we had got the old signature, and then one of our leaders in the community took those signatures to the Vatican or to those who are responsible, and the door started opening, and the man went all the way and dressed the world from the Vatican. Ask the people why the imam didn't mention images right in the presence of the Pope and all those other leaders. Why he never mentioned it?
Okay, can I answer that?
Can I give
my?
I like to give an answer to that too. Also,
let me give my answer on that because it's going to be short, and because yours will probably be long. Let me just get it. I would say that maybe at that particular time, he felt that it was not necessary and not right because he's not over there in Italy, at Rome, right? In Rome, in Italy, at the Vatican. He was not over there. He didn't go over there for that purpose, even, mainly. Maybe that's why he didn't bother to mention it at that particular time, the message of concern. He brought it back to the, he's bringing that to the people in his own circle or environment, you know, to be able to get it to. Because, you know, we were hard-headed people. You know, but we needed what we needed, and it was hard to sometimes accept what we needed in the way that he was giving it. You know, and he did it mildly, too, to keep from provoking people, and that's the way he wrote the message of concern. It's not provoking at all when you read it to them. Now, we can, I'm saying that maybe that's the reason why he didn't mention it over there, because it wasn't what he wanted really to go over there to talk about directly, just the only to emphasize on that. He might have spoken to the Pope in the undertone, in a certain, you know, way at a certain time to mention it.
Yeah, right.
And maybe that's why he didn't broadcast it. But I do believe in my heart that he went over there for the purpose he went over there, and I can't believe that he would go over there when that was the high at that particular time to remove these images with the Craig and everything, you know. And but it wasn't necessary to mention to them over there because that's not our environment anyway, you know. But then certain words probably was were they mentioned to the Pope? It was mentioned. I can think like that. I feel that way. I feel real deep hearted. Okay, Brother Suja.
Ma'am. One of the answers I want to give is that the imam is a leader, and he don't have no open confrontation with leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, even it's Muslim leaders. He don't even have an open confrontation with Muslim leaders. Let alone the Pope. You know, but now he's not telling us not to challenge this idea of false worship. Mm-hmm. He don't tell us not to do it. He tells us how to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but No, I know that he wouldn't have had a went up to the Pope and to the image you got around your neck, the dead Jesus.
That cross, too.
yeah, give me that. No, he ain't going to do that. That don't, I mean, you know, I mean, we got the reason. That's reason. He's not gonna disrespect the Pope. A whole lot of people love the Pope.
It's just a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, it's a time and a place. That's right. Praise be to Allah. That's my answer.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's 8:20 now. Does anybody else have anything else to say or any input about the discussion? Brother Muhammad, you still with us, right? You got anything
yes,
else
I'm
to still. Say?
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm still. If somebody else want maybe want to make some comments too, invite any of those that have any comments. I think that'd be
okay.
A good idea.
All right. Right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad we can come together on that. And what is the wording that you put with that, Brother Muhammad, when you said go to where now to get the message from Brother Imam on at the Vatican, or go to that?
Yes, go online on whatever your browser is, your search engine, just put in Imam W.D. Muhammad. Speaks
okay.
From the Vatican. That should bring
okay.
You right to it. You can do it right now. Bring it to it right now. Ma'am,
okay.
Daladin Muhammad speaks from the Vatican.
Okay. Now, I wanted it for further references myself so I can go and look at it, but we can, because they're hearing you now as an announcement, those who are on and who are listening, you know, that are out there. In the audience and not here in the local audience, right, you know, right here. So if they hear you, and you said it about 4 or 5 times already, we tell people to go to and visit the website of W.D. Muhammad Speaks from the Vatican, right? Right,
right.
Muhammad?
Yeah, that should
okay.
Take you to it, yeah.
Okay. Okay. We got... Alhamdulillah. Okay.
Yeah, you can go to it right now, Diane. You can go to it right now. Suja, you can go. Everyone can go to it right now. It'll take a couple of minutes. Just go type it on your computer, smartphone. See the man speaking there. You see him break. You see all that right there.
But what are we supposed to get from it now? What are we supposed to get from this? Where we go? What are we supposed to be looking for?
Oh, wait. Well, I got that. I guess I have to leave that to everyone. What did that from?
Oh, I'll do a lot. But you're not going to see him attacking nobody.
No.
You ain't going to see that.
Listen. When you go there, just listen to the words he's saying. Listen to all those big. But all the words, listen to him. Just listen to his words that he uses. You know, just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody go there yet?
No, I didn't. I'm saving that for my own little private. I like to listen. Can't listen to it on here. What am I supposed to do? Listen and turn it up for everybody here?
What is it on YouTube?
It can be on YouTube. Engineers, wherever you go to YouTube, you can go to Google, wherever your search engine is, just go there and type it in. Like you're doing some searching for anything, just type in what you want to type in, and it comes right up.
Email W.D. Muhammad speaking from the Vatican.
Yeah, right. Everybody, the language now is, go to Google. Google it. You know, W.D. Muhammad speaking from the Vatican. At the Vatican, you know.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
you brought your own self in. I didn't bring you in because I didn't see.
Yes,
I didn't think you wanted
to. No, I didn't. No, I did not. No, I was No, I went, like I said, I went through the back door, you know. Alhamdulillah, but because I didn't hear the whole discussion. I didn't hear the whole discussion. But that Imam W.D. Muhammad speaker from the Vatican is powerful. One of the things that I especially remember him noting to us is that he mentioned his father. He mentioned the Honorable Elijah, but he didn't say the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I don't think he did, but I think he said my father conditioned me, something about me, conditioned me to think for myself or something like that, you know. So, you know, he took his father all the way to the world stage, you know. All praise be to Allah.
Joining one another here at the Vatican in Rome, with His Holiness John Paul II, because Muslims, Christians, and Jews and others share basic values and a belief in a virtuous life that wants justice and peace for all. Growth in population, modern transportation, and modern media make for circumstances that put us in one global picture. Television will occasionally put the great religious societies in the living room of its viewers. We cannot but look for opportunities for religions to meet and by sincere discussion come to a better knowledge of each other. We thank Allah for this occasion for leaders from the great religions to meet here in this holy city of the Catholics, hosted by His Holiness John Paul II, their leader, who has our delegation among his Muslim well-wishers and fervent admirers. I have devoted my life to building bridges. Inclusion was in my heart. I believe I wanted that, and I think my father conditioned me to want that. That is, not to be separated, but to be with all good people. I wholeheartedly accept and embrace with you the idea of unity, mutual sharing, and love for one another. We have to condition ourselves to be at peace. God has given us the requirements that we have to meet for a life of faith in Him. And when we meet these conditions, we do have peace. There are many convincing signs everywhere. Those with open eyes, belief, and faith will see them and hear them, will hear the sound everywhere that goodness is on the rise. We're living in a time of revival of the true life that God put into the human souls when He created the first person. A new world of faith community all over the world is on the rise. God is one. His creation is one whole. There is one universal law for all matter, for all material things, and everything is related. God has made things different, human beings too, because God wants unity to progress. The diversity is to provide the unity with legs, with wheels, with movement for more progress. God says He had made us humanly different by color, by nationality, to encourage us to walk together and get acquainted with each other, to have peace and unity. We thank His Holiness John Paul II for making this opportunity possible. As the Imam and representative for a large number of Muslim Americans, we greet this multi-religious gathering with peace, salam alaikum, with peace and with brotherly love. We ask that divine favor be upon all the participants and on this holy place. Ameen. Peace.
All right, we heard some of it, and you can just turn to it when you get ready, and assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, well, alaikum assalam.
Okay. I see yours, and I see Suja. And one other person who just came in, if you would like to make a comment or ask a question, please push 1 on your phone receiver, and we will open your mic. Well, I did just open the mic for the those who are on, and this person just came on not too long ago. And I'm talking about area code 909, last 4 digits, 5630. If you would like to say anything, you might. You may, and if not, then that's okay. You don't have to. Are you trying to get in? Are you trying to get in?
Oh, no. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum
assalam.
Yeah. This is Brother Rashad. This is my new phone. No, I just turned.
Brother
Rashad,
this is your new phone.
So
old soul. I didn't know your new phone number.
old Brother Rashad. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
Okay.
You know, I was just, I wasn't on long enough to know what the topic was about. I heard you mention the Imam at the Vatican, you know, and then I heard some tape or something. It was inaudible, but so I wasn't on enough to really respond, you know, because I wasn't fully aware of the topic, you know.
Okay, but we were speaking on the message of concern and the way it was originally wrote and by Imam W. Muhammad and the intentions, you know, and it was beginning of Craig. Beginning of it was Craig, and then some of the things that Imam W. Muhammad might have not mentioned then in the message of concern that we either propagate the religion and the message of concern, we are mentioning it now, but was not originally a part of the message of concern. So we were just, talking about that and discussing that and trying to share our understanding of it, and we should present the message of concern to the people, you know, verbally or as a flyer, whichever, in the way we should not. So that's what that was all about, Brother Rashad.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaykum assalam, Brother Suja.
Yeah. I have heard some presentation of the Imam addressing racism in religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I never would believe that he would address it the way that he, you know, in the Vatican, the way that I hear him approach removing racial image.
Oh, no, he didn't.
I don't think he'll talk to the Pope that way. I don't think he'll address it that way. You know, he'll use all kind of tact and diplomacy,
right?
And that's what I expect from my leader. You know, that'll be an insult to his followers if he go there and tell you had to take that white man down. You know, he's not gonna talk like that to the Pope.
Got to take the white man down. Oh my God.
Yeah. He's not gonna come that way.
No.
Yeah.
No, those things are just those. That's not using any sort of attack. You know, Imam would use that sort of approach anyway. He was just not like that. No.
Uh-huh.
No. But he did in his own way let him know about the unity that was needed. You know, and this is the day. You know, in time for
right. Right.
So he came on late and he just heard what we were trying to play there, but that was a story you could hear too well. But I was just saying you can go and do it now, but when you get in the presence of your home or wherever it is, go to your phone and computer and listen to it where you're very, very clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brother Rashad, do you have that information on how, if you want to listen to that, on how to get to that?
Imam W.D. Muhammad at the Vatican?
Yeah, I think I just key in that, right? Imam W.D. Muhammad at the Vatican.
Yes, Imam W.D. Muhammad speaks from the Vatican.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I just key that in. Just type that in.
Yeah, I don't think that was.
Okay.
I think I got it, pulled it up halfway. I think I did, not from the very beginning, because I know I wouldn't have had time to really hear it all. But I just pulled it up half the way. Yeah, but I'm going to take time and listen to it again.
Okay. I can take my time and listen to it. You know.
Yeah. Right. So you bring us anything else, Brother Rashad?
Well, no, I just tuned in today. I'm just on today. Let me see, anything in particular that, you know, one thing that I was kind of interested in, it's kind of surprising, but, you know, they were talking about the January 6th, hearings, you know, and They said that, you know, that at one time Trump had some of his advisors was talking about seizing the ballot boxes, you know, and stuff like
right.
that. So I'm just thinking, you know, that that was just on the news that you know, that message of concern regarding the racial imagery giving someone a false sense of superiority, that can be maybe some of Trump's problem, you know, in terms of that false superior stance that he took, you know, to try and go against everything. All the information that was showing him, you know, that was to the contrary of his stance, you know, about winning the election, you know. But I think that was a false sense of racial superiority that can go all the way back to seeing himself and seeing those images as God, as a white person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an effect of that, you know, that could be what we call a deep psychological manifestation. I mean, could be, you know, but it just brought to my mind something has to be wrong, you know, to go against his all the information that his own people, not only the opposite party, is bringing to him, the Democratic Party, but his own party, the information that they're bringing to him, you know, and still going against all that, you know, it's kind of like superiority, you know.
Yeah, this is still all about Trump again. They're trying to make sure he just doesn't get in. It's all kind of stuff. People are. He's still like. I'm trying to think of the word I would use for that. He just won't let go. He won't let go, even though so many charges have been brought up against him. He's still trying to get in, do wrong, and overturn Biden and all kind of accusations. And then they're saying that they don't see why Biden seems aggrieved with them as partnering Trump and all that. He seems to be for that, you know, for partnering Trump for the 6th, January 6th and all. And they're still, tonight was the night we've sort of been listening to that court, too, for January the 6th. But he's just still at it. He just doesn't want to give up. So it seems to be Souza just didn't, you know, just determined that he's going to be back in there, whether we want him to or not.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Alaykum as-salam.
Yes, one thing that I experienced there in Chicago, when we were getting those petitions signed, and Craig, remove all racial images that I worship at the Faith God. One thing that I noticed, we all noticed, that the majority of the people that signed those petitions asking for the removal of all racial images out of worship was people that was Catholic.
Mm.
The majority of them were Catholic. And their churches is full of images.
That's right.
When you go in there, you see them kiss the feet of statues and everything, you know.
Pray to them and everything. Pray to them and everything.
Yeah.
I was Catholic at one time. I left. My grandmother died, raised me. She died at 13. I had to leave Nashville, Tennessee, and go to Newark, New Jersey with a military aunt. And she married a husband in the military as well, and they was old. Stone Catholics. I had to take Catholicism for a while, and then I got out of that, and then we had to eat fish every Friday, you know, and I just had to live a life of Catholicism at that time until I met some friends in school, same high school I was going to, Weequahic High School in New Jersey there, and their grandfather was a Methodist minister, so I went to the Methodist minister. And they invited me to church with them and everything. So my aunt just didn't want to refuse that then, you know, because she knew that I wasn't about it. I was a missionary Baptist. One of my grandmother and all, you know. So she know that. Yeah. That's how she was born, missionary Baptist too. But then when she went to the military.
Yeah. I'm
telling you.
I went to some churches with the imam, and he was dealing with the image, but he never did bring up a whole lot of things, you know. He didn't. He just you know he just introduced himself to the people's. And talk about the condition. Talk about the bad situation that we're in, and the condition of the people's African American, you know. I remember I went to the one that he spoke at, Pastor Barrett, you know. He was all excited when the imam got through, you know. And there was another one he went to, and the guy was calling himself challenging the imam. The imam went into some history, tore him up, and Muhammad Ali was there, and he told the brother, he said, oh man. What you gonna submit, man? You know, he never did get into it in the sense of where he disrespected, you know, the Christian leaders. You know, he never did tell us that we could tighten up on different things. He never was against that, you know, because when you out there talking, you responsible, you know. And the imam said, I ain't raising up no parakeet. I'm not raising up no parakeet. And I don't know who put that. I think the infiltrators put that out. you know, about you had to say everything the imam said when you talk to people. That was so ignorant. But you had a whole lot of people believe that. That was the criteria of you being committed to Imam Wahbi Muhammad if you knew how to repeat everything he said. No, when you get out there, you have to think for yourself. You got to be intelligent. And praise be to Allah, every chance I get talking to young people, that's why I let them know what I'm saying right now. You know, and you have to think for yourself. You'll find out many times that you're going to be saying some of the same thing that the imam was saying. You know, you're going to be saying exactly the same thing, and people going to think that you got that from the imam. No. You just thinking for yourself, right? You just think for yourself, and that came up. That came out and come up, you know. So the imam never did want us to just. He said he was selling for a supporter rather than having a follower. He was selling for a supporter. You could go up on his supporter. You know, that's how much the imam loved us. And he wanted us to be ourselves. There's a whole lot of psychology that was used by Master Prophet Muhammad and things like that. And you got many brothers is coming out there talking crazy, talking about Jesus don't exist and all that other stuff. I mean, man, look here. A whole lot of that is imam brought a whole lot of that out, but you can't go way off into the deep end. You know, we had to study for ourselves. You had to study for yourself, individual self, and you know what you thought of and what you need. And you stand up on the, and represent and speak the truth. That's what the imam taught me.
The imam put it this way. As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. What I am asking now?
The imam said you took care of that person, talking to that people don't talking his supporters. The imam said, those who talking that way, you said you should tell that person, I am that leader. His flesh is my flesh. His mind is my mind. His spirit is my spirit. His honor is my honor. Get behind me, Satan. Don't let Satan lead you. So soon the man said,
right.
I was saying the same thing. The people say that, well, you know, the man, right after the man had passed, you go to the masjid for you. He said something, they said, well, ma'am, but he's not here any longer, you know. I said, okay, just what that ma'am said. You listen to me? Look at me. I said, I am that leader. Looking right in his eyes. His flesh is my flesh. His mind is my mind. His spirit is my spirit. His honor is my honor. Get behind me, Satan. I'm looking right here, just like that. And that's where I've been since I heard the man speaking. I speak that way because I say I am that person. I am the leader. I am that person. Imam W.D. Muhammad.
You Imam
W.D.
Muhammad?
That's right. That's what he said. You tell them that you are that person. I am that leader. His flesh is my flesh. His mind is my mind. His spirit is my spirit. His honor is my honor. Get behind me, Satan. That's what the man said. They tell them just like that, and they backed up every time.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember that one time we were racist? We were racist. The same thing that was the white man was saying he's God,
yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
Farrar came in. Where the Farrar came in? He told on about Mama was the black man is God. He
That's
said,
right.
Racist, and we were going all over America. we couldn't take us outside America, but we were going all over America. The Nation of Islam telling everybody the black man is God, and we were telling everybody we're God. So we're doing
the maker,
same
the owner, the cream of the planet, the maker, the owner, cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe.
Yes,
Could I attempt to explain that? Let me finish. But the black man is God. Isn't that what we were saying since 1930 up until now, Muhammad came and leadership, 1975? We were saying that the black man is God. And we were talking that all over America.
So we was a racist. Then Imam Muhammad came in. He said, let me correct all of you, the black one and the white one. The white man not God, the black man not God. Allah is God. Allah is the creator. And we stopped saying that. That's right. So the first time I came home telling my wife that. I came back that evening. I said, you know something? I said, the black man's God. We are God. And we start, the whole, well, right across the street, the whole project came into the nation. You said everybody all everywhere. All the children in the kindergarten would come out and say, the black man is God. I mean, them little children telling them the same thing. The black man is God.
That's right.
Y'all remember that? Shoot, we were racist.
That was English lesson number C1, wasn't it? English lesson number C1.
Go ahead, sister.
I'm not gonna say nothing yet because I don't want you to think I'm. Is it okay for me to say something?
Yeah, that's okay, bro.
The imam explained it to us that almost everything that Master Farah Muhammad used wasn't true.
Right.
He the one brought that concept up. But why did he bring it up? He brought it up because they were using the concept of white. They had the white Jesus, and God had a son and all that, you know, Master Farah Muhammad saw that in the Bible, everything was white. So what he did, he took the concept of black.
Okay.
Remember, this is false now.
Yeah.
But he was so, they brought it through the 60s and the 30s so strong, you had people say, I'm black and I'm proud.
You psyched out. You psyched out.
Yeah. But that's not your identity. That's not your real identity. You're talking about the Caucasian is standing up with white. He got white bagging him up, and African American done took on the color of black through Master Farah Muhammad, and that's what bagging him up.
Yeah.
But that's that's false. But that's what we use.
If they had been smart enough, they would have thought what Imam W.D. Muhammad said, but that was before his time that he came in when he said that. And we weren't knowledgeable of that, that this whole world is an illusion anyway. The whole world is an illusion anyway. So now we have to remember that.
Mm. So I just hope we can remember that is that black man ain't God, the white man ain't God, you know. But it's a battle going on. A white superiority and a battle is going on with black superiority. That battle is going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, we got somebody else's hand now. We got 5 minutes. And it looks like my hubby. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, wait a minute. You're not brought up into the queue yet. Wait a minute. Okay, there you go.
Yes, I am. I am enjoying what's being said. Whom will they say, Tan Rajin? Boy, the truth has been spoken. We had to use falsehood to get rid of the lies. So the lie was stronger, was strong. And it took subversive psychiatry to move that lie about God in the world. So we thank for all of the good that came out of that, and you know that the strong only survived, and now we're saying that we're one human family, and we're much stronger than we ever been. We were making progress with that idea that we're black and proud, and to the government agents among us, people that look like us, that our power that we've been start buying from each other, they're having a good time with each other, and then the government went to work on that idea, put them agents among us, and put music out there that led us away. They thought off the entertainers that brought us a message that helped us, they bought them off or took some of the entertainers, Mayfield, Sam Cooke. Kane Brown a whole lot. Any entertainer that stood up and spoke wrote for government, called out somebody to break up their family, get them to be drunkards and alcohol. All this is conspiracy. And all this slow now development down. We although we said we were black and proud, we but they were saying they white out hang you. They were burning the house down, kill the babies and the woman. But we wouldn't do that, don't they? And we gonna be black, we gonna be good neighbors. We gonna start living because we got each other to play like we love. And that was it. But we get in the truck and somebody died before the night's over. So we were searching for identity. We were searching for what is right because we have been led away from what is right for so long. So we say all praise and due for the honor of Elijah Muhammad and Master Muhammad. Thank Allah for you. All praise and due. All the substance. That we came in Dr. King and Ram David, Jose Williams, so on and on. Thank God for all the great and women come up out of that that were trying to help us get a better life. To that image completely gone. The number one problem in the world because we would ever come together. Long world image that we all want. We all want the color. May Allah continue to get strongest in the community of the that's all I want.
Oh, Lega Maslam. Well, it's the time. This is the hour. It's 9 o'clock. Straight up and down. Could you please close us out?
Brother Akbar, I appreciate everybody's participation. I really enjoyed tonight. I really did, even though it was a sister's night, they say, but like I always say, we're in this thing together. Message of concern, psychological effect that the image has on the mind of the world's children. So it all ties into one. Okay.
Oh, Muhammad, the meaning, the greatness. Please tell him, Muhammad, to start a face, the God promised him that.
Yeah, check your phone. Your phone is breaking up badly. Okay, assalamu alaikum, everybody. Be safe. And thanks for coming on.